Okay. If we all humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day, thanking and praising your name for giving us the opportunity to come together. Father, we know that we could be thousands of other places, but we cannot fathom not being here to worship you, to giving glory to your holy name. We thank you, Father, for blessing your people, for giving us the opportunity to come together. And we thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that you've given in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and gave his life that we might have life more abundantly and that we might be able to overcome this world and Satan the devil through his shed blood. So, Father, as we look into the Word, we ask that you would open our understanding and that you would cause us to hear and to absorb the Word that you have before us this day. May it have free course in us and cause us to grow up to salvation through your word and through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We thank you, Father, for those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, because that shows that they trust in you, that they believe that you can heal them, that you can give them the things that they are seeking. So, Father, we ask that you would honor their faith and that you would honor their diligence, Father, as they come to you, not trusting in themselves, but trusting in you. So we thank you again for the opportunity to come together and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And in Yahshua's holy name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. We've been doing a series on 144,000. And today, I've entitled the message, The Bride of the Messiah. And our opening passage is going to be in Revelation chapter 14. It's Revelation chapter 14, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And the voice I heard was as the voice of harpers harping with their hearts. And they sing, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders, and no man could learn the song except 144,000. Even they that had been purchased out of the earth, these are they that were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were purchased from among men to be the first fruits, the Bikurim, and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no lie. They are without blemish. They are virgins. The 144,000 know how to get up. We have all fallen or sinned in our lives, brethren. But those who are successful are those who learn how to get back up. Many fail and stay down because they feel sorry for themselves. They turn to alcohol or some other drug. Yes, alcohol is a drug, brethren, which we are allowed to partake, but with self-control. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, self-control. The 144,000 have self-control. If you can't function without it, speaking of the alcohol, you're not in control of your life. The bride of the Messiah is in control of the things around her. She strengthens herself in Yahweh by keeping all the covenants. The bride of the Messiah is faithful, and she is in subjection to the Savior in all things. Turn to Matthew 25. Going to see the parable of the 10 virgins. That's Matthew 25. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For the foolish, when they took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil." And we know from Song of Solomon 1:3 and Psalm 119:105 that the light, the lamp, is the law of Yahweh, but the oil represents the name. It represents the name of Yahweh. But the name is very important to our Heavenly Father. "Now, while the bridegroom stayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there is a cry, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come forth to meet him.' And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered," see, the 144,000 are wise, because they keep the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. They have prepared themselves for the second coming of Yahshua the Messiah. They are the bride of the Messiah. See? We went through a lot of the different attributes, okay, of the 144,000 since I started this series. And there are many things that the 144,000 are. Why? They're blessed. They're the elect. Okay? They meet these different attributes on several levels. And it says here, "But the wise answered, saying, 'Perhaps there will not be enough for us and you. Go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Master, Master, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Truly, I say to you, I know you not. Watch, therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour.'" So we have to be prepared. We know that Yahshua has overcome the world. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Yahshua has overcome the world. Look around you and see the things that cause you anguish. You must overcome each and every one of them to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. And like I said, with the alcohol, that's something that's permitted. It's not an illegal drug. It's something that we're permitted to partake of. It tells us in Deuteronomy 14:22, where it talks about going to the feast, if you want strong drink, alcohol, you can have it. We just know there's a limit. We can't allow ourselves to go beyond that limit, see? So therefore, you have to do things properly, decently, and in order, see? So he wants us to rejoice. That's what the feast is about. And that's what this is about. The Feast of Tabernacles is a type of kingdom of Yahweh. It's a type of what we're trying to achieve. So therefore, we have to be ready when that time comes to rejoice before him. And that's what he wants us to do. Like I said, there's no restriction there. It tells you can drink in Deuteronomy. You just have to do it under control. You have to be ready. And see, too many people get lost. They believe that, they drink and they lose their inhibition. They let their hair down, as it says, people, and they lose control. But we cannot lose control. We have to be in control every step of the way. As 144,000, we're preparing ourselves for Yahshua's coming. And we must be ready. And for us to be ready, like I said, over in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 to 22, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will have supper with him, and he with me. He that overcomes, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. And he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assembly. Now, Yahshua did overcome this life. He was the first of the first fruits. Okay? He was our wave sheep offering. We, if we are fulfilling that 144,000 or the Bickering, we have to be first fruits as well. And we have to follow in its footsteps. We have to walk as Yahshua walked and overcome this life as he overcame. Philippians chapter 2. Turn over there. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 1. Philippians 2, 1. It says, if there is therefore any exhortation in the Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one another, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through factions or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself. Now think about this, brothers. Yahshua, he's walking the earth, comes in contact with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is up in a tree. He's a little guy. He was a tax collector. He's a sinner. Zacchaeus, I'm eating at your house today. Come down. He comes down right away. See, today, if we're walking down the street and we see somebody that's considered a sinner and we tell them to come, to, you know, come to my house. We invite them to our house. Are we concerned with what the neighbors are going to say? Oh, they have so-and-so eating with them. And you know what he is. We can't be concerned with what the world thinks, brothers. See? Because Yahshua came to heal the sick. He didn't come for the righteous. You understand? And see, that was the problem with the Pharisees. They saw themselves as being up here, above the people. You know, they didn't want to have anything to do with the sinners because they didn't want to become, I guess, sinful. Whereas though, you know, we're supposed to be able to lift people up. And that's what 144,000 do. They lift each other up in prayer. They lift each other up because they're concerned if Joe is having a bad day or a problem. You know, if I can do anything to help you, I'm there for you, Joe. You know, and it should be the same thing if something happens to me. You understand? And I need help spiritually or whatever. You know, you're there for me. We've got to pray for one another. And this is what Yahshua is trying to get people to see. You know, you can't hold these things in your mind that you're better than someone else. Yahshua became the servant of all. He died for the sinner, each and every one of us. How can any of us look down on anyone else? We can't. We cannot be the bride of the Messiah if we have put ourselves on a pedestal. See? We have to be just like him. He was a humble individual. He wasn't puffed up. Yahshua was humble. Have this mind in you, verse 5. Which was also in the Messiah Yahshua, who existing in the form of Elohim, counted not the being on an equality with Yahweh a thing to be grasped. He didn't try to be like Satan. Satan wanted to have his throne above that of Yahweh. But Yahshua, no, he didn't have that attitude. But emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. This is what we have to do. That's why Yahshua took the towel, girded himself, and washed his disciples' feet. And we have to be willing to do the same. He loved the unlovely. And that's what Yahshua was able to do. What about us? Are we able to say that we love the unlovely? You know, a friend I was talking to the other day, a lot of you know her, Charlotte, and we were talking about the people. She works with some mentally handicapped people. And she said that someone said that it's Yahweh's way, I mean, being able to work with these people and to be able to see them and treat them with respect is Yahweh's way of touching some of our lives to see how blessed we are. And if we're going to treat them the way that we want to be treated, if conditioned. See, so when you think about other people and where they are in life, especially those that don't have what you have on that mental level or that physical level or that financial level, you understand it can go on and on and on. We have to put ourselves in that position of being the person that says, hey, you know, but for the grace of Yahweh, there go I. Here we are because of the blessings that Yahweh has given us. Okay? We could have been born in a third world country. We could have been born, you know, and like I was telling some of the brethren here, the brethren in Kenya, as poor as they may be, are happy. You understand what I'm saying? They are rich in spirit. They love Yahweh. You know, they worship when we have services over there. It starts in the morning. It doesn't end until evening. They worship all day long, and they rejoice. Every Sabbath they're doing it. And every time you talk to them in between, they're praising Yahweh. I'm not saying they're perfect. I don't want you to get that impression. They're human. They have their own problems just like we do. But they seem to be able to get by with so much less than we because of our conditioning. We were born here in America. You know, we are a rich country, very rich on the world standard. That's why Satan has to break us down and get us to a third world level so that, you know, he can introduce his little beef with us. But everything is happening for a reason, and we just have to be where we're supposed to be and do what we're supposed to do and get ready as the bride of the Messiah. And see, you see here, Yahshua didn't put himself up on a pedestal, even though he came down from on high. He existed in the form, it says, who existing in the form of Elohim counted not the being on an equality with Yahweh a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. And this is what we have to do. We have to be like Yahshua. Therefore, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death, yes, the death of the torture stake. Therefore also highly exalted him. Therefore, Yahweh highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name. So that name is important. A lot of people have me believe it's not, but we know Yahshua's name is very important. That in the name of Yahshua, every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Yahshua the Messiah is master to the glory of Yahweh the Father. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So when these occasions come upon you, brethren, in your daily life, you know what you have to do. See? You have to thank Yahweh for the blessings that he's given you. For it is Yahweh who works in you both to will and to work. For his good pleasure, do all things without murmurings and questioning, that you may become blameless and harmless children of Elohim, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you are seen as lights in the world. And the reason that you're seen as lights in the world is because you have light. You have Yahshua. see. And as you grow in Yahshua's grace and knowledge, you are going to be the bride of the Messiah. And that's the reason that he is teaching us and trying to bring us to that point, so that we can be that first fruit. There are going to be a lot of people, and I'll show you that in a minute. There's a lot of people who would be able to, you know, reach that level that they are going to make it to the kingdom. But there's only 144,000 that are going to be first fruit. There's a limit to those positions. So as you're conducting yourself in your daily life, regardless of what your job is, driving your tractor trailer or your whatever, the cement truck or whatever you do, I don't care if you work in an office, I don't care if you dig ditches, you're supposed to do it with all your might, like you're working for Yahshua. Because if we do it like we're working for Yahshua, we'll give our best. And if we give our best, guess what happens? We get blessed for doing it. We want to be there. We want to be the best of the best, which is the first fruit. So therefore, we have to overcome every challenge that Satan puts before us. And truly, he is trying to take you down. His purpose is just old as can be, divide and conquer, whether it's a husband and wife, father and child, you know, best friends. It doesn't matter. He's trying to destroy your relationships, okay? But our first relationship has to be between us and our Savior, us and Yahweh, and we cannot allow him in between. We cannot allow him to get between that relationship. Verse 16, it says, holding forth the word of life, for my exaltation in the day of the Messiah, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Yes, and if I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And in the same manner do you also joy and rejoice with me. But I hope and the Savior Yahshua to send Timothy shortly to you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. And what Paul was concerned with was how the work was going. He was concerned. Timothy became the bishop of Ephesus. He was a young man when he was recruited and when he came to Yahweh. And his family was a part of the faith. But he stood fast. Remember, he had a Gentile father, a Jewish mother. And what happened was Timothy committed himself to Yahweh. And Paul took him under his wing and nurtured him and raised him up to Yahweh. And he grew. He flourished. Verse 20, it says, for I have no man like-minded who will care truly for your state. So he's telling Timothy, there's nobody else out there that, you know, I can depend on to care for what you're doing the way I do. And sometimes these relationships that we have are fostered through Yahshua the Messiah. He's the one that puts us in contact with one another. We know each other through the faith. That's how we come together. We're not all relatives physically, even though on one level we are. But, you know, I met most of you through the faith. So these relationships are fostered through Yahweh's Holy Spirit. So we're supposed to look out for one another, so that we can build each other up. And that's what the 144,000 did. They care for one another. As I said, they pray and try to build each other up. But they all seek their own, not the things of Yahshua the Messiah, but you know the proof of him, that as a child serves the father, so he serves in the furtherance of the good tidings. I therefore hope to send him there so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And Paul was concerned with what was going on with him, because his situation was getting desperate. He had a lot of problems. Remember, he became a prisoner, and a lot of the work he did was even after he was a prisoner. He did a lot of work for Yahweh. Ephesians 5. We're going to start in verse 15. Look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, be not foolish, but understand what the will of Yahweh is. And be not drunken with wine, in which is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms, anthems, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to Yahweh, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, to Yahweh, even the Father, subjecting yourselves to one another in the fear of the Messiah. Timothy subjected himself to Paul because Paul was his elder and taught him in the faith. We have to be in subjection one to another. We have to be in subjection to Yahshua the Messiah. In verse 22 it says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands as to Yahweh. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, our husband in this situation is Yahshua the Messiah. And we're the wife or the body of the Messiah, if we're the bride. So we're going to look at this on a spiritual level. See, in the Hebrew exegesis, you got the four different levels, you know, of understanding. So we're going to try to go into the third level here and look at things from a strictly spiritual point of view, even though this is talking physically about, and I'm going to show you something as we go along. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as the Messiah also is the head of the assembly. So he gives both right in the passage. Not only is he talking about the physical, he's talking about the spiritual. Being himself the savior of the body, as the assembly is subject to the Messiah. So let the wives also be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as the Messiah also loved the assembly and gave himself up for it, which he did. He loved his people, and he was willing readily to give his life, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the assembly to himself a glorious body, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Even so ought husbands to love their own wives as their own body. He that loves his own wife loves himself. Yahshua loves us. I'm telling you. He showed that through everything that he did for us. He loves us. As the bride of the Messiah, do we love him? How do we respond? For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Messiah also the assembly, because we are members of his body. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be closely joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard of the Messiah and of the assembly. This is the one flesh, Yahshua and the bride. We're one. Nevertheless, do you also severally love each one his own wife, even as himself, and let the wife see that she fear her husband. We must fear Yahshua the Messiah. He overcame the world. We must overcome the world. We have to be ready when he knocks on that door. We have to have our lamps trimmed and be ready when Yahshua returns. If not, we will be lost. Proverbs 31, another passage that we're familiar with. And, you know, I wondered at some time in the past about the beginning of this chapter, Proverbs 31, where it talks about the words of King Lemuel. It says, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows? Give not your strength to women. Talking about those foreign women. False religion. Nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes to say, where is strong drink? Lest they drink and forget the law. And I started this out about alcohol, even though we're talking about the bride of the Messiah. You know, people sometimes get lost. And they get lost for many reasons. Alcohol just is just one of them. Like I said, it's legal. But you have to have self-control enough to know your weakness. And that's one of the things I liked about Clint Eastwood. He says, a man's got to know his limitations. And we each know our limitations. We do. If you know you can't drink, don't. You know? Even if you're doing it for someone else. And sometimes there are certain situations where you might have a husband and wife, and the wife can't handle the liquor. Yet they'll drink together, and then they want to act a fool or whatever. The key is this, okay? If you know that this is the situation and you're the husband, then you don't drink, you know? Or if you're the wife and you know your husband has a problem with alcohol, then you don't drink. What I'm saying is we will sacrifice or suffer to do something to help our mate. See? And this is what we want to do. Yahshua suffered and sacrificed for us. Okay? So there are certain things that we have to be able to stay away from. And like I said, it says here, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice due to any kind, any that is afflicted. Give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, and wine to the bitter in soul. And that's when most people do drink, when they're depressed, when they have this problem, when they have that problem. A lot of people drink to forget their problems. But what do? They create more problems. It creates, if you're underage, fine. You know, you have to pay money when the police write you up. If you're driving and you're over the age or whatever, you get a DUI. You think about it. I mean, many people have lost their freedom. They've killed people under the influence of alcohol. Okay? So what I'm saying is if you can handle it, that's fine. I'm not saying you can't drink. The Bible doesn't say that. What we're talking about here is being ready for Yahshua and not let anything come between us and him. And if alcohol is it, I'm just using alcohol. It could be anything. Okay? I'm just using alcohol. I'm just saying that because it's legal. There are other things that people use that are not legal. There are other things people use that are legal. It doesn't have to be anything like this. It could be sugar. You understand what I'm saying? If it causes you a problem, you cannot have that come between you and your Savior. And that's all I'm saying. We have to be ready when Yahshua returns. So the reason I'm putting this forth in this manner is because we have to see what's there. And too often, we get blinded. And we get blinded, and we need somebody to come and move the blinders away so that we can see clearly. As it says here, in verse 8, open your mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are left desolate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and minister justice to the poor and needy. A worthy woman who can find. For her price is far above rubies. She's worth more than the riches of this world. We're talking about the bride of the Messiah. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he shall have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her bread from afar. This term that the Jews have for this is the Ashes Pileia, okay? Talking about a giver, a strong woman, okay? That's what a giver is, mighty, okay? So this mighty woman that we're looking at is spiritual. We're looking at the bride of the Messiah. We want to apply this, like I said, spiritually. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her bread from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and gives food to her household and their tasks to her maiden. She considers the field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants the vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and makes strong her arms. And I'm not talking about lifting weights. Okay? She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp goes not out by night. She lays her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yet she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes for herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And we know what the fine linen represents. Revelation, the righteous acts of the saints. That's what that fine linen represents. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and delivers girdles to the merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. That time to come is the 3.5 years that is soon coming upon this earth. The tribulation. And yes, she laughs at the tribulation. You know why? Because she's prepared. She's confident in Yahshua. She knows her Savior. She knows her husband. So each one of us has to get in touch with Yahshua the Messiah and be ready so that we are the bride of the Messiah when he returns. She opens her mouth with wisdom, which means she is wise, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her in her saying, many daughters have done worthily, but you excel them all. Grace is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears Yahweh, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise in the gate. Remember, Yahweh has a purpose for his people. We must walk with Yahshua the Messiah. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Very, very important passage that we know. 1 John 2, we'll start in verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and Yahshua the Messiah, the righteous. And he is the propitiation, the atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world, which he is. But the problem is the whole world is not going to turn to Yahshua. And by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's what shows the world that we know Yahshua, because we're faithful in keeping his commandments. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of Yahweh has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. he that says he remains in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And how did Joshua walk? He had compassion on all men. He truly did. He showed his love to all men by giving his life. Isaiah chapter 62. Verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth its brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. And the nations shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. And you shall also be a crown of beauty in the hand of Yahweh and a royal diadem in the hand of your Elohim. You shall no more be termed forsaken, neither shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for Yahweh delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your Elohim rejoice over you. And Yahshua is going to rejoice over his people, his bride. It's 144,000. And Isaiah 61, we'll just read verses 10 to 11. Stepping back a bit. Says, I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh, my soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. And we know righteousness is the keeping of the commandments. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and the bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the sovereign Yahweh will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Almighty Yahweh is sending Yahshua back to this earth. And Yahshua's coming back for his bride. His bride, the 144,000, who've dedicated their lives to serving Almighty Yahweh. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. We'll start in verse 3. Matthew 19, verse 3. We'll read down to verse 12. It says, and it came, and there came to him Pharisees trying him and saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall adhere to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So that they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore Yahweh has joined together, let no man put asunder. They say to him, why then did Moses command to give a bill of divorcement and to put her away? He says to them, Moses, for the hardness of heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been so. And I say to you, whoever shall put away his wife, except, see, there's an exception for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And he that marries her when she is put away commits adultery. The disciples say to him, if the case of the man is so with his wife, it is not expedient to marry. But he said to them, not all men can receive the same, but they to whom it was is given. For there are eunuchs that were so born from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs that were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs that made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. But Yahshua is looking for a perfected people. He's looking for a people who have overcome this world. We can't get caught up in this as far as, you know, divorcing and worrying about this and worrying about that. It tells us right here. There's only one reason, and that's for fornication. So when we see that, if we spiritually, who are virgins, the 144,000, aren't partaking, if we go elsewhere, if we go and accept Buddha or Islam or some other religion, we have become adulterers. We are committing spiritual fornication, and we're not going to be a part of the bride. See, Yahshua wants a special people. You can come out. You understand? Because a lot of us, most of us, weren't born into this faith. I was raised, born into a Methodist church, raised Methodist. I studied many different religions. But when I found the truth, I never became a Muslim, even though I studied a little bit of Islam. I studied to show myself approved, to become the bride of Yahshua the Messiah, because his word is what I found to be true. It says in John 4:22, salvation is of the Jews. Okay? It's talking about Yahshua the Messiah and those who worship Yahweh, not those who don't worship Yahweh. It's important that we understand, that we know where we are spiritually. 1 Corinthians, no, I'm sorry, John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 16. Very, very familiar passage. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Yahweh sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He that believes on him is not judged. He that believes not has been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For every one that does evil hates the light and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. For he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been worked in Yahweh. The bride does the works of the Messiah. In verse 22, it says, after these things came Yahshua and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he stayed with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in Anena near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. And there arose, therefore, a questioning on the part of John's disciples with a Jew about purifying. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he that was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. They're leaving you, they're going to him. John didn't get upset. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it has been given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent before him. That's the Eliyahu message, brother. And that's something that we have to fulfill as well. We have to go before and let the world know that Yahshua is coming soon so they can prepare themselves. He that has the bride is the bridegroom, and Yahshua has the bride. See? But the friend of the bridegroom, and this is what John is letting them know. I'm the friend. Actually, I'm his cousin, but you know, this is John telling them. The friend of the bridegroom that stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is made full. He must increase, but I must decrease. John recognized his position and exactly where he stood. First Corinthians 7. Now, this is the marriage chapter. I'm not going to deal in it too long, but I have a few points I want to make here. First Corinthians 7. Verse 25, it says, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of Yahweh, but I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the master to be trustworthy. And Paul was trustworthy with the word of Yahweh because he knew it inside and out. I think, therefore, that is good, that this is good by reason of the distress that is upon us, namely, that is good for a man to be as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But should you marry, you have not sinned. It's not a sin. Okay? And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such shall have tribulation in the flesh and the world. And I wish to spare you. For this I say, brethren, the time is shortened, that from here on those who have wives may be as though they had not, and those that weep as though they wept not, and those that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and those that buy as though they possessed not, and those that use the world as not using it to the full. For the fashion of this world passes away, and we know that that's coming to pass very shortly. But I would have you to be free from cares. The cares of the world, the cares of this life. He that is unmarried is careful for the things of Yahweh, how he may please Yahweh. But he that is married is careful for the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and is divided. So also the woman that is unmarried and the virgin that is careful for the things of Yahweh, that she may be holy, both in body and spirit. But she that is married is careful for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And that's true. We are divided, those of us that are married, because we have that other person that we have to consider. And it's nothing, it's not a sin, like Paul said. But it does take us away from some of the things we may want to do for Yahweh. You can't be completely given to Yahweh when you have a partner, because you have to consider their needs. That's a part of what we do. But as the bride of the Messiah, we have to be considered in thinking of the things of Yahshua and what he wants done. See, because he's soon coming to this earth. And we have to have a people ready, as John the Baptist is doing. And I say, and this I say for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is seemly, and that you attend upon Yahweh without distraction. But if any man thinks that he behaves himself unseemly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of her age, and if need so requires, let him do what he will. He does not sin, let them marry. But he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power as touching his own will, and has determined this in his own heart, to keep his own virgin daughter shall do well. So then both he that gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he that does not give her in marriage shall do better. A wife is bound for so long a time as her husband lives. But if the husband is dead, she is free to be married to whom she will, only in Yahshua. But she is happier if she lives as she is, after my judgment, and I think that I also have the spirit of Yahweh. And truly, Paul did have the spirit of Yahweh. Now we're going to turn to Revelation as we have a few more scriptures to bring this thing to a close. But turn to Revelation chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 6. Oh, no.
Okay, it looks like we lost Greg. Yep, I'll have to call him up back. Trying to get a hold of Greg, so please be patient. He's dropped off. Well, I don't know what to do. I can't seem to get a hold of Greg. I keep trying. Okay, Greg's battery died. He's going to get back on.